switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Glad you could join us once again as we continue with our study on the Spirit of Faith Netcast of faith, God's faith, and how you can use God's faith. Now, in order to do that, what we're going to do today is we're going to pick up, as I said last week, with how you acquire or obtain the faith of God, and then how to use that process to develop faith in your life. It's one thing to know how faith works. It's another thing to actually work it. And that's what we're talking about. We're getting practical. We want this teaching to be not just an academic exercise. We want it to be an actual development in your life of how to use your faith. And so that's why we're taking time and going into some of these in great detail. Now, in order to do that, first of all, before I even get into the study today, let me say this. I would love for you to go to our website, which is www.wofm.org. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got articles. We've got other audio teaching and video teaching. We've got all kinds of things, resources that we've placed on the website for you and for people in your family, people in your church, folks that you know that need to know more about this message of the Word of Faith. Now, we are Word of Faith Ministries, and our thrust, our purpose, our vision is to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. That's what that website is about. It's a resource that you can use to be trained within the Word of God on the subject of faith and the teaching of the Word of Faith, and that's what it's about. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. All right, let's go into the book of Romans, and I've got my Bible here. I hope you have yours. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. So if it's just slightly different than what you're used to in the King James, all they've done is taken some of the archaic words and phrases and kind of updated them. It's a really good translation and one of my favorites. And so we're going to be reading out of the New King James today. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now remember, we've been finding out the importance of the word of God in your mouth. This mouth is more than just something that you're communicating one to another with. Right now I'm speaking words. You're hearing me or you're seeing me on the video netcast. And it's a means to communicate. But there's more to words than that. Words are so important. We talk about the Bible being the Word of God. It's the Word of God because He spoke it out of His own mouth. And remember what we found out in earlier studies about when God speaks out of His mouth. Things happen. The universe was created when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, in the same way, words are containers of power. Now, if you're making notes, make a note right there. Words are containers of power. And God's Word contains His power. We know that the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 1 that the whole world, or our universe, we could put it, is upheld by the Word of God. God's Word contains the power even to maintain the universe that He created. It's pretty amazing. Let's keep reading here. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of Faith which we preach. Now, as I said, this is Word of Faith Ministries. I've mentioned that to you before. Well, this is where it comes from. The Word of Faith which we preach. That's what I'm told to preach. That's what you as a believer has been told, has God's told you to preach. So you need to know about the word of faith. Not the word of doubt and unbelief. Not the word of tradition. The word of faith. All right, don't get me off on that. I'll start preaching on that. All right, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, remember, we found out last week the importance of confession of the mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh my, this word saved. It is a Greek word and is pronounced sozo. Now, it's spelled S-O-Z-O in terms of the English transliteration of that word. But it's pronounced sozo. There's a little D sound in there. But what it literally means is, in the Greek, to be saved, delivered, healed, protected, and made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. To be delivered from temporal evil. Boy, that's a big definition, isn't it? But basically, it means soundness, wholeness. It carries with it the same idea as the Hebrew word shalom. Now, a lot of people think of the word shalom as meaning hello and goodbye, you know, kind of like aloha in Hawaii. Well, it's not just hello and goodbye. It's not just peace. There's a lot of people say shalom means peace. Well, yes, it does. That's just one aspect of its definition. It means peace. It means soundness. It means wholeness, nothing missing, nothing lacking. It means completeness. It means to be healed and well. It means prosperity. In other words, financial wholeness. It covers the whole realm, basically, of existence. And it's the same way with this word sozo. To be saved, to be delivered, to be healed, to be whole. Spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. In other words, every area of mankind is covered by this term sozo, or saved. So we're talking about more than just getting your ticket punched to go to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. It's important to go to heaven. It's important to know that you know that you know that you're going. And that's why, one of the many reasons why, Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, went into hell and suffered for the sin that he did not commit, but that he took upon himself. See, he took our sin on himself. He never committed a sin. He never did anything that did not please his Father. Yet on the cross, as he was hanging there as the ultimate sacrifice, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look upon sin, and Jesus, according to the scripture, had become sin with our sin. Wow, man, think about that. Jesus himself paid that ultimate price. And then he wasn't done yet. He went into the very bowels of the earth, suffered spiritually for the penalty of sin, and then was raised from the dead for our justification. That's a long teaching in and of itself, and we'll get into that in another netcast. But I tell you, it's powerful what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, all of that was for so much more than just getting our ticket punched going to heaven. Not, again, that that's not important. It is important. And I thank God that one day I'm going to be going to heaven as opposed to the alternative. You don't want the alternative, believe me. And let's talk about, just for a moment, about the alternative. Let's talk about hell for a minute. Hell was not designed by God for people at all. The Bible tells us that God made hell for Satan and his angels, or in other words, the angels that followed him when he rebelled against God. So it was never designed for humans at all. It was never designed for people at all. Well, you say, well, Dr. Bill, why then would anybody end up in hell? Does that mean nobody is going to end up in hell? No, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that will end up there, not because God intended it that way, but because once you reject what Jesus has done. And literally, that's what you do if you don't receive him as Lord. God has made this available to everyone. He's made salvation available to every single person. And yet, if you do not receive that free gift of salvation, you are rejecting what Jesus has done for you. And if you do that, then you have affiliated yourselves. Remember what Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. You have affiliated yourself with his enemy, who is Satan. And by that affiliation, you are tied to him. Remember what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, ye are of your father the devil. Now, they had a connection to the scribes and the Pharisees had a connection to Satan because they had rejected the things of God. And that spiritual connection of Satan being their father, and I'm talking in a spiritual sense, that spiritual connection is what will drag them into hell with Satan. It's not that God has pleasure in sending anybody to hell. It's not that he sends anyone. It's that that connection pulls them into hell. And that's what God is wanting to absolutely avoid by having you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you haven't done that, boy, I encourage you to do just what the scripture says. Let's go back and look at it again, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as your Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will, or as the King James says, you shall be saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be saved. That's a direct promise from God himself in the Word of God. Now, why is that? Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You obtain this position with God of being saved or being born again by what you have done in your heart and with your mouth. Again, see the importance of the mouth, of words. So you can believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, but if you don't confess him as Lord with your mouth, you have not completed, I'm going to make this a little mundane here, you've not completed the transaction. Now, I don't mean to make it sound quite that way. You know, we know that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not talking about believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth as you doing something to be born again. What you're doing is you're fulfilling conditions. See, these are conditions that God has placed on obtaining the free gift of salvation. There's nothing you can do in the natural that will put you in a position with God of being saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and going to heaven. There's nothing you can do, no amount of good, no amount of works, no amount of anything that you can do. Ephesians chapter 2 is very plain on that. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But there are conditions to be met. Salvation is free, but the conditions are laid out right here. Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead. Notice helping old ladies across the street, working in the church, whatever. None of those are listed. No, confession of Jesus as Lord. And that's more than just saying, well, Jesus is Lord. You know, oh yes, I know Jesus is Lord of the universe. No, he's talking about making him your personal Lord. Lord as in whatever he says goes. Lord is in, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I am yours. Jesus is your Lord. Confessing him as your Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead. See, there's a lot of people today that call themselves Christians. Listen closely here. They call themselves Christians, but they kind of scoff at the idea that God would raise Jesus literally, physically, actually from the dead. Well, you know, I don't believe that. Well, then you are not born again. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you know what? I'd rather tell you that now and have you understand it from the scripture and then actually go ahead and get born again, then have you deluded into the idea that you are, and then you end up one day before the Lord and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're going, but wait a minute. All my life I claimed to be a Christian. Well, tough. You didn't fulfill the conditions. The conditions are confess Jesus as your personal Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. Yeah, but Dr. Bell, I don't believe in all that miracle stuff. Well, tough. It's in the book. If the Bible says that God raised Jesus from the dead, then Jesus has been raised from the dead. If the Bible says God split the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked across on dry land, guess what? God split the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. End of discussion. And if you're a theologian that says, well, I don't care about all that, I don't think that's true, tough. You are an unbeliever. A non-believer. You know, I really don't care what you believe or think about it. The Bible is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. You say, Dr. Bill, that's tough. You know, it's time for us to get tough. It's time for us to stop fooling around and playing around with the things of God and realize this is reality. This is more real. This book that I have right here in front of me is more real than the things that are around you right now. It's more real than this chair. Now, this is a good chair. I like this chair. It's a good, stout chair. And it's comfortable. But you know, this chair is not as real as this Bible. And I'm talking about what it says, not just the physical Bible. You know, yeah, okay, this Bible physically is real. That's great, but it's just words on paper. It's what God said in this Bible that's reality. That's what I'm talking about. See, you need to get a hold of these things. You need to realize we're way past playing around. We're way past a time in this world that we can just kind of, okay, I'm a Christian. My mom and dad were Christians. Their mom and dad, they were Christians. I go to the first whatever church. Yep, I'm a Christian. We're past that, folks. Have you looked at what's going on in the world today? Have you heard and seen some of the things that are happening? The days of man on this earth are winding up. These are the last days. That's something else you may kind of scoff at, but it's true. Just as reliably as Jesus came the first time, according to the Scripture, he's coming back again, according to the Scripture. He promised he'd be back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? That's what he asked. He said, when the Son of Man returned, well, will he find faith on the earth? Well, praise God. I'll be here. I believe. I got a whole bunch of folks at Faith and Victory Church. They believe. Amen. Friends of mine that I know, folks that listen to this netcast, you believe. I trust he will find faith on the earth. And that's really the point of this Spirit of Faith netcast, is to teach you the Word of God and to convey to you how faith operates and make sure there is faith on the earth when Jesus returns. Amen. So, boy, we're getting off on some tangents here, but they're good tangents. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Praise God. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh my, stop and think right there. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, little old me, calling on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You calling on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, but Dr. Bill, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sins I've committed. You know what? I don't know, and I don't care. You're a whosoever that can call on the name of the Lord, and you can be saved. Amen. Jesus bore every sin on himself. murder, adultery, anything that you can name that's a sin. He bore it. He never committed any, but he bore it by choice, by decision. He bore your sin so that you don't have to suffer the consequences of your sin. Wow. It's just amazing to me, the power of that. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, it's what I'm doing right now, sharing the word of God with you. And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Glory to God, I got beautiful feet. Ha ha! Amen. Who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. The word gospel is good news. Anytime you hear something that's claiming to be gospel and it's not good news, guess what? It's not gospel. By definition, gospel is good news. I just have so many good jumping off places for preaching here. You know, I'm just going to have to pass them by because I'm trying to get somewhere. All right. They have not all obeyed the gospel. They haven't all fulfilled the conditions. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, verse 17, this is where I've been trying to get. Verse 17, Romans chapter 10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. How does faith come? It comes by hearing. Now, I know some of you are saying, now, you know, this is the strangest thing I think I've heard. You're saying you use your faith by speaking words, and you get faith by hearing. What is that about? That is how God chose to have the system operate. Hey, I didn't make it up. It's right here in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the word hearing there is an interesting word in the Greek. It's the Greek word ekoe, A-K-O-E. It means more than the mere sense of hearing. It implies hearing and receiving the teaching. So you could hear me preach the word like I'm doing right now, and you could just nod and say, okay, yeah, well, whatever. Or you could turn me off. You know, you could just go to another website. Whatever. And you would not receive the benefit of receiving faith. Faith comes by hearing and receiving the teaching. Hearing the word of God alone is not enough. You have to mix faith with it. The Bible says that the word of God did not profit them, talking about the children of Israel, because they did not mix faith with it. You have to mix faith with the word of God that you're hearing, and hearing the word of God taught and believing and receiving it is how faith comes. It's a cycle. It's a cycle that's important. You have to hear the word of God taught, preached, expounded upon. You have to hear it with your ears, but you have to mix faith with it. You have to believe it and receive it. Once you believe it and receive it, faith comes. Amen. Wow, we're out of time. We're going to have to pick this up again next time. Boy, it took a while to get down to that scripture. But that's what we're going to pick up next week as we talk about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The faith comes because you hear it and receive it. The hearing and receiving it comes by the word of God. Wow. There's a lot here. And we're going to be getting into this. Now, for right now, though, I want you to write me. Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. It's important for me to hear from you. And listen, if you really believe in the ministry of the Word of Faith, I want you to prayerfully consider something for me. I want you to pray, and I want you to say, God, would you have me become a partner with Word of Faith Ministries? Now, if you pray and God says, no, you know, become a partner with Brother Copeland, you know, whatever, that'd be great. You do that. That would be a blessing to the ministry of the Word and to me, because I'm a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, for instance, as well. And we support other ministries. But the point is, if you believe that you should become a partner with Word of Faith Ministries, it's very simple. I'd love to hear from you. Send me email to that address, drbill@wfm.org. Or you can go to our website, go to the upper left-hand column. There's a button there that says donate, and you can donate to the ministry. And it's very easy to just go through the steps there to do that. I mention that because we've got some things on the horizon that I'd love for you to become a part of as we reach out with this message of the Word of Faith through every available means of technology, like what we're using right here with IPTV. I tell you, this is exciting what God is doing. And He's been developing this and working with us on this for a long time. And it's now coming to fruition. And I tell you, I just appreciate what the Lord's doing. And I appreciate that He's doing it in such a way that we're reaching people, I believe, throughout the world. I was looking at our statistics recently, and it's just amazing how many people are hitting this website and hearing our messages, and you are a blessing. All of you around the world are such a blessing to this ministry just by partaking of the Word of Faith message that we're preaching. So, join us next week and prayerfully consider these things. And remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.